Welcome to Property Uncover Show. This is Sanjeev Shah, your host. At Property Uncover Show, I have the privilege to interview real Australian investors who share their wisdom by uncovering their property journey, mindset, who they are, when and what made them inspired, what are they doing differently, which helps them act and make a difference to their own and loved one's life. Let's get into this episode so we all can learn from our guests' success and most importantly, their mistakes, so we avoid repeating them. Hi everyone, Sanjeev again. Today I've got a very special lady guest who is family focused and happily married with an 8-year-old daughter. She relocated to Australia back in 2008 after living in Sydney for almost a decade, made the deliberate choice to move to Brisbane in 2018 to live a more relaxed lifestyle away from the bustling of Sydney. With the help of Investor's Dream, she and her partner has now successfully invested in 3 properties in high growth areas that are performing well. This is her second podcast with me, but this time it is more to reflect back on her investment journey and inspire other females who are looking to get into the investment path. So let's get into this episode. Welcome, Bhavya.
Thank you, Sanjeev. Thanks for having me. And as you mentioned, I agreed for the second time around only because you said you want me to talk to more females out there. So thank you for having me.
Now, pleasure, not only to females, I think even for our males, right? So, but sure. At the same time, your journey will definitely inspire and help others to take action. So thanks again for joining me, Bhavya. So should we start with your background, where do you come from, what you do for a living, and you know, anything you'd like to?
Sure. As I think you mentioned, I come from Bangalore, south part of India. And Sanjeev, half your client base is Indian, so who are IT professionals. So I am one of those again with an IT background doing well. And yes, as you mentioned, we were in Sydney for almost 10 years. And now in Brisbane, continuing our professions as IT consultants. And it's about my professional background.
How are you feeling about moving back to Brisbane? Like it's been almost 5 years for you, 5-6 years. So
yeah, it's been around 6 years. It was a mixed feeling. Initially, I think my partner Vijay, he missed Sydney a lot. He always wanted the food scene and the friends. All our friends are still back there. So he missed Sydney. But then having been a new mom and trying to deal with being new parents, I think Brisbane gave us that, okay, we could focus all our time into bringing our children because I don't think we were taught how to parent. So learning that was fun. Being in Brisbane helped us navigate parenthood, to be honest.
Okay, so you're enjoying the coastal lifestyle, I mean the tropical?
Yes. 5 kilometers, I can get in 5 minutes. So in Sydney, I can't do that.
It's a couple of good, you know, Gold Coast sunshine. Everything is handy to you guys.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, that's true. That's our closest beach.
So, how did you get into the property world? Like, is it, you know, it was in your family thing, or it's something you learned and on your way? So, when this property bug bite you actually?
I'll be honest. I think coming from the background or upbringing from India, we never thought of property as an investment. It's always buying a home to live in. We have to buy that, not even renting, buy a home to live in. So that was always there. And once we got married, we're like, okay, we're going to get a house to live in. We never thought of, okay, I need to invest and, you know, I need to grow my property. That thought never came, to be honest. It was always about, yes, we had some savings. Now let's look at the house to move in. And we did land up buying a unit in Sydney with off the plan property, only with the thought process that, okay, we want to live there. But the situation changed, things changed. We never landed up really living there. And we continued to rent and relocated to Brisbane and converted our property into investment. In the hindsight, when I look back, I'm like, I wouldn't have bought a unit if I knew then to live in. We just only went through our convenience, what would work, our location, easy maintenance, and that's what we want. But now having gone through the journey, I think we would do things differently. But that's how we started. We could have done better. I'm not saying we did something wrong, but all I'm saying is we could have probably done better with the property boom in Australia. It's going so crazy. The property did well, I must be honest. And then when we came here, again, the same thing. We did not have the knowledge or we did not educate ourselves of, yes, we have to invest properties. It's just that we took advantage of the interest rates being low and bank providing us. So we landed up buying the unit that we lived in Brisbane as well. So that was our start of buying a property only with basic knowledge or basic information that, yeah, let's do that.
So your first property was back in Sydney, which was a unit. I think it was a 2 or 3 bedroom unit.
It was a two-bedroom unit, two-plus study.
Okay, plus study. So you bought with the intention to live there. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, but you guys didn't stay there.
Yeah.
So how long you held that property before you sold it?
I think for almost 7-8 years. So it did appreciate, I must say. But the same thing, if I put it on a house somewhere far, I think we would have been in, it would have taken us into a different...
How much it appreciated roughly for the Sydney property? How much we bought and how much we sold?
Around 300 grand. It appreciated by 300 grand, yeah.
And of course, it is in good, like it's in Macquarie Park, right?
It was in Linfield. Yes, it was in Linfield. Yeah, it was good. But again, I'll be honest, we did not know what capital gain tax was, anything was. And because we never lived there, it was investment. The profit we made also, we had to pay. We had to pay the interest on any profit we made.
But now it's good. Like we all do mistakes, right? It's part and parcel of the journey. But then I think you guys had consistently took an action and always looking to refine things. So you bought the Sydney apartment. And then I think before we started buying those three properties, you sold the apartment before you got into buying those investment properties, right? Or it was on the way?
No, actually, I think the first one we had not sold. When we bought the first property with you, of course, we got introduced to you through one of our common friends who spoke very highly about Investor's Dream, and we wanted to get into that journey as well. And after talking to you, we got that confidence, and yes, we took that step. And the first property gave us that extra confidence and extra boost to go further. That's when we decided we will sell our Sydney property, and which gave us a head start to do the other two properties.
Awesome. So you moved to Brisbane, you bought another place in Brisbane and where you guys are living at the moment. And then on the way, of course, we bought three investment properties. So I think, do you want to talk about those three properties we bought? Like, you know, of course, they were houses.
Sure. And I think, Sanjeev, one of the biggest advantages for us was it was regional area. So the budget was, you know, not too big. It didn't look big. The risk factor was low. We could take that risk and afford it. It did not put us into that stress levels that probably we would have had if we bought a $1 million property and we had to borrow so much money. That would have been a different scenario because it was small. We started small, investing small. And at that point, Bundaberg, when it came for 450, yes, we were able to do that. It wasn't easy. And the knowledge that we gained through the whole process was like, wow. So, wow, why didn't we know this before? So whatever I said, the mistakes we learned, it was then that we started realizing that, oh my God, if only I had done this way, it would have been a different story for us now. So we started with Bundaberg. This was in 2021. And then less than 6 months, we decided we wanted to sell our Sydney property. We sold our Sydney property. And the mistake was we were interest only and our mortgage was still sitting very high. So we had the whole mortgage to pay off from when we sold the property. So all the money, most of our earnings that we got from the sale went into paying off our loan. And whatever little savings we had, we landed up paying capital gains tax. And whatever little was left, we were able to proceed with the Wagga Wagga property. Wagga Wagga was 375. And then 6 months after that, we did our Secret Arbor, which is in Perth. That was our third property. So it gave us that boost to do the other two properties.
I think you did well, like pretty much in a span of 7 to 8 months. I think, I know, Bundaberg, we bought it in December, in 21, end of December. That property, of course, we bought for 450. I think it's renting for $600 per week at the moment.
That's right. That's right.
And then now that property is worth a little over 600. So, you know, 150K in slightly over 2 years' time. And then immediately, I think in February, we end up buying in a row the Wagga Wagga one, which was 375. I think that is renting for, I think now, how much is the rent on that one?
I think around 420.
420, which is good. And then I think that property is also, I think it is big land, around 800 square meter. You can build a granny flat on that. I think it's again worth at least 500, slightly over 500. I think it's a basic three-bedroom home with one bath. I think the Bundaberg was good, 4-bedroom, 2-bath, neat and clean. And then I think we bought the Secret Harbour in July, I think, yeah?
July, yeah, June, July, that's right.
So everything in a row. And that was for around 443 in Secret Harbour. Now that is worth, of course, more than 600K. And that's like what, renting around $600 per week, more or less?
Yep, yes, around that ish, around 580, 600. Yeah, but thanks to you, Sanjeev, we took advantage of the interest rate then when we bought. So we did ride on the 2-year fixed term interest rate. We were on the positive cash flow on all the three properties. And now with the interest rate hikes, I must say that even the rents increased. So even rents equally increased at the regional areas, which we're not in the maybe positive cash flow, but we are at least neutral cash flow. And I think one property is negatively cash flow, but that's okay. As you mentioned, it's all appreciated in the last 2.5 years. So it's not, we are in a comfortable position.
It's like, you know, while we want to property to be positive or neutral or slightly negative, because of course, you know, RBI was on a mission to control the inflation, right? So we can't. And those are the external factors. We have no control, right? But what we can do is, hey, we want to buy property, let's do it. And you did it. Now, just in 2 years' time, out of those three properties, you have gained already 450K more or less, right?
Yeah.
So that's a lot of capital for these smaller investment properties, all under 500K mark, right? And now look back, like, you know, these properties are worth 600, and now someone has to buy the same properties. You have to invest that kind of money. So yeah, I think, of course, you know, timing is one thing, but then taking action and capitalizing on the opportunities is another level, right? Especially when we have the money and the borrowing capacity. So you use that, right? Because sometimes we don't have cash or borrowing capacity or equity, then we have to wait. But when we have money and we want to invest, why are we waiting for? So again, you know, it shows what can happen in 2 years' time. And, you know, if we would have not done that, probably we would have lost the opportunity, right?
That's right.
Now, Bhavya, what do you have to say? Because a lot of people, you know, of course, you bought two properties in regional and they are very solid regional location, like Wagga Wagga, Bundaberg, right? Now in Bundaberg, you can see a lot of properties selling for $800 million. So it's not like a regional, right? Like they're solid locations. Wagga Wagga, you know, a lot of money's there in those regional location, good population. And Perth, of course, being a capital, one of the affordable capital, I mean, soon it will not be. But what do you have to tell? Because when people, a lot of people think fierce here buying in regional, say, no, I have to buy in capital. So what do you have to say that? Like, you know, because a lot of people fears when they think regional means it's there's nothing, there's no growth happening. What do you have to say on that?
Oh, that's totally a misconception, because I think the population only keeps growing. And now COVID has taught us so much that it's become a hybrid working model, at least for most of us. So our homes, where we live and what we do, has become more important, and we are no more stuck to the city life and want to be closer to the city. Having said that, biggest advantages for us investing in regional was we started small, Sanjeev, and that was so, took away all the stress and it was easy, and we could confidently take that step towards investing because at that time it was small. I know now in the hindsight, they've also appreciated so much. It's probably going to get only harder to invest. That gave us a good boost to do the next few properties. So just seeing Bundaberg grow, we're like, wow, regional. And of course, you got to educate yourself, and you took us through that journey. We can't blindly go and invest in all regional areas. So you pick those pockets where we saw that growth, and Australia is only going to grow. We have a lot of land in this country and a lot of people, and population is only going to grow. So we need more space. COVID has changed that for us. Wanting to live in cities, COVID has definitely changed for that. And I think regional areas will continue to grow. And that's my personal belief. Please look at regional areas.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's the thing, you know, now to construct a home, like, you know, you're looking at just a basic 3 or 4 bedroom homes, you're looking at anywhere 450, 500, you know, that mark to build a decent home. And, you know, we're talking about buying a house for 375 or 450. Those property had to go up. There is no looking back. And of course, there is a lot of migration. There is a clear housing crisis in the country. Even before COVID, we had. And of course, COVID has made it worse, right? And, you know, of course, the cost of raw material, labor, everything has gone up. So I think it's a clear indication. And that's why, like, you know, buying in these affordable locations are so good. But at the same time, now these locations are no more affordable. You know, the way we bought for 375 or 450, now they're sitting at 150, 200K up.
That's right.
So I think taking timely action is also important. How are things going with your owner-occupier buying? Like, I know you're looking in Brisbane to upgrade your home. So how are you going on that front?
It's only getting harder, Sanjeev. I'll be honest with you. With the interest rate hikes, haven't made any change. Its property has not come down. It's not even paused. To be honest, it's only getting harder. And to your point that, yes, we took action early and we did. Now that because we have this, we are in a position, if we really need to get our dream home, we're able to sell off one of the properties and still try and be in the market and secure something for ourselves. So yeah, we are, the hunt is on for almost a year and still we have not been able to secure anything that we like. Still going on, I must say. But we are in the market.
Yeah. At the same time, you already have a place. It's just you're trying to upgrade your place. So, but yeah, I think it's good. But yeah, I think the struggle is real, actually, because we have a shortage of housing and the prices, they're going up continuously. Now, tell me, when people come to us, they still ask, Sanjeev, how these properties, because we're buying interstate and all, we're not going to see the property or go to this location. So there's a lot of fear going around in the background, right? Which I can understand. But what do you have to say? Because your first property in Bundaberg we bought, right? And then second Wagga Wagga, Perth. Out of these three properties, have you gone yet to any of these properties?
I'll be very honest with you all, and Sadiq, we have not seen a single property. We have not even gone and made an attempt. We keep thinking Bundaberg is only 4 hours. We should go. We should drive one day and just go have a look. We've not even done that. Sanjeev, I need to appreciate the hard work you put into giving us that information that we need to know about a property and hooking us on to all the local agents there who manage our property. I must say all the agents who are managing our property are really good. They're on top of their game. There was not a single time I had to say, hey, I think we're up for rental increase. They're very proactive and they've constantly gone ahead. If the market is high, they've come back, hey, I think it's time for your interest. We need to increase your rent. Or we get inspection videos every 6 months of our property. They're using the latest technology. They're on top of their game. And then they're also asking us, do you want to sell your property? We are ready. We have so many buyers. That's also happening. So they are keeping us informed and in touch with us rather than the other way around. So honestly, it's all worked out well because we landed up doing well. And no, we have not seen any of our properties.
So initially, did you, you and your partner Vijay, had some initial fear hey, we are buying interstate, we are not able to see, or no? Of course, Bundaberg, you are in the same estate, but far off, 4-5 hours drive. So initially, did you guys had fear or?
Very much we had the fear. And I think one of the biggest confidence was that property was already rented. So it's not like we had to go do any work in that property, go fix things or anything. So in the very beginning, if you had given us a property, we needed work and, we had to go fix things, shell out another sum of money to get things, it would have probably set us back and it would have made it challenging. Our first property was easy. It was very easy. So it was okay. Yes, the second one, Wagga Wagga, as you said, it's a big land, but a very old property. It needed a lot of maintenance, but we were okay with that. It was taken care. It was okay. We were okay with that. We were ready because the experience with Bundaberg was so different that we were okay to do that. And same thing with Noosa. I think there were heavy storms at some point and the whole compound got knocked off it's not even a compound. I don't even know what they call that.
The fencing
came off. So the agents did take responsibility, took care of it. It's some unexpected expenses that did come our way, but it was well managed. To be honest, it was well managed. They sent us the photos and they got quotes from a couple of people to come and do the fencing. It's not like they went to one person and whatever quotes they got, they went. No, they gave us options. Yes, we have three people. These are the quotes. What do you want to pick? These will, that kind. They gave us all the information that we needed to make that informed decision. So it was okay, Sanjeev.
No, good. And good that you're sharing that because you're right. Initially when we were buying, we had fear, and I'll come back on that to ask you again, how do you overcome the fear? Because we all get the fear, but what is more important, how to overcome them, right? So we'll come back on that. But so first one, you got a Bundaberg neat and clean property. It was tenanted. I mean, of course, finding a tenant would not be a problem anyways, because vacancy rate was low and it's still low, right? But you got a good feeling. And then second time you bought Wagga Wagga, you were willing to buy something with a granny potential, flat potential. Even older property, and because now you're more in the motion, you know how this game works, right? So you're more comfortable second time. And then, of course, third one, of course, we bought in Perth again, something neat and clean. And of course, the storm came and then a fence. I think that was for a lot of properties during that time, I remember.
Yes, and it happened immediately after we settled. I think just that we settled, and that was
But again, it's like part and parcel of this investment game, right? Something will come, but then if you know or keep yourself prepared that something will come, right? Or may come, right? Not that we are attracting something will come, but, it's part of the game, again, some repair work, this and that. But again, you deal with that. And again, having a good property manager just takes most of the stress because you have a good team on the ground, right? Otherwise, so now that's good sharing. Now, tell me, how did you overcome the fear of especially first one? And then how did you feel during the second time? So
I think you answered that question, having the right property buying agent or the, local. We got hooked on to the local agents who are doing very well in that area. They know the area in and around. So that gave us that, who took away our stress. We didn't really have to do anything apart from making decisions, right? I didn't have to call anybody and say, can you do that? Can you do this? How much it's going to cost? I didn't have to do anything. Yes, of course, they're taking the charging the fee, but that's a standard fee any agent would charge to manage a property. Being so busy leading a family, I don't see ourselves being able to take that responsibility, additional responsibility, and try and manage our own properties on our own. It's probably not at all possible. So that's why we pay that money for our agents. And you found us the best ones, best local agents. Everybody are different. And you're not even biased by giving that, you know, this is the favorite one, go there now. You gave us the good ones. You gave us the good ones for every different region, different agents, property agents for managing our properties. They helped us a lot. They helped us a lot by doing the right thing or giving that confidence that this is what needs to be done. Yes, some out-of-pocket expenses came our way. It's an investment property. When you file your taxes, you're going to add to all of those. So you learn that. You learn that along the journey. Yes, the fear is there. With time, you'll overcome it. With the knowledge that you gain and with the support you have, you'll be able to overcome that.
Yeah, no, good. Because yeah, I think fear is part of the game. I mean, you know, because it's not inbuilt in our education or the society that, you know, so yeah, I think fear will come. And I think, and the fear can only go away by taking action, I believe. Like in anything, action can kill fear. Now, right now, you've got 3 investment properties, 1 property owner-occupied, total 4 property here in Australia. So how you feel about this whole portfolio?
Honestly, I don't know. No, I don't know. But I must say that it's probably taken away some of our financial stress. A small example being, as I said, we are trying to look at upgrading. So if I didn't have any of this and if I just had not invested and I just had the owner occupy, I think we would have struggled to get our foothold and that, okay, we have to get in all our savings, not have any flexibility, and it would have been a different challenge. And the second thing is, I think we are in that phase of our lives where our parents need us. So we don't know when we have to pack our bags and, you know, be there to support them and give up on our job. And I'll be honest with you, in the last 3 years, I think we had to go and Vijay had to go and take care of his parents. I had to go and be there for my mom a couple of times. And we were able to do that because that financial stress was not there. We were not, you know, somewhere, some kind of stress because we had this investment properties all taken care of. We were there. We're like, what is the worst that's going to happen? Okay, we sell this and we are able to make that decision. That's the worst thing, right? So having that knowledge or that knowing that is really reduced a lot of stress, financial stress, I must say, Sanjeev.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. I think, see, I agree with you. I mean, it's not like, hey, well, you know, we're making money, but yeah, it's a lot of peace of mind it gives you back, which otherwise is a lot of uncertainty in any job, business, family, parents, right? So I think it just adds, you know, peace to that. Like I know Vijay last year, I think you know, all guys had a lot of travels, international travels to India. I think even went to Canada. Again, money is required. So otherwise we can't do those things. But everyone is thinking to doing that or wants to do that, but then we need that financial support, right? So yeah, I think you're right. Like even I go back in my journey, you know, I was able to quit my job back in 2019 and start my business, which is my passion, right? Only because I had a portfolio. I knew if something will go wrong, I can sell some of the properties. I can go back to my job or whatever, right? So, but then the whole peace of mind was just because of the property backup. Now, how's your family, you know, Vijay, your partner, your parents, they you know, feel all about what you guys are doing?
I think we've inspired some of them. I must say, I've inspired my sisters. He's inspiring sisters, his parents. They're very supportive and happy for us that we're able to do this. So we always have that encouragement from them. And seeing it do well is the proof and, you know, giving us that confidence furthermore. So yeah, they're happy about it.
So good. Now, I think while you're saying this, family and friends, like I'll call out one name, Karthik, you know, he's your relative. After, you know, you guys been seeing your journey, he's now has come on board and now we are, we have already bought 2 properties. They have done well. And now we are putting another offer actually for the 3rd property today. Again, so inspired. We did a podcast with him as well. And it's so good. Like again, you know, and he always highly talks about, even in the podcast, he mentioned about a friend, which is, we know it's you because you inspired. And, you know, that's the thing, you know, while all these things give us peace of mind, it also helps when we take action, we inspire others, right? Now, Karthik has come board and of course, we have multiple friends and colleagues who came on board, right? But Karthik is just another example, but it goes a lot of positivity. And
of course, if we see all of us growing together, nothing like it. you know, that whole disparity goes away and we're like, yeah, we're all growing in this together and we're all able to reflect on our experiences and share more knowledge. How was your journey? How was my journey? And it's in a very positive direction, right? We are brushing off positive vibes to each other and encouraging each other to, you know, grow, and nothing like growing together along with friends and family.
Yeah, so true. Now, I think while you have shared so much, one thing I want to touch base, like, what was your why, like, of, you know, getting into this? Because I know we all have fears and doubt, and we can see it, you know, someone is doing it, but to trust ourselves is sometimes very tricky. I would not say, you know, it's hard or anything, but what was your why of doing all those things into and coming into the property journey?
I want to retire at 50. I already see myself having a back pain, leg pain, neck pain, being in the IT profession and, you know, not having that energy and doing that. But I think I wish I had started in my 20s, or, you know, it's your growth phase, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, even 40 to 50. So if you're there, you're able to do, it's your growth phase. And after 50, you can get into your consolidation phase, something that my financial advisor said, which I go by. That was an awesome learning. Yes, we could have started early, but having said that, we are not late either. We have taken action. It's okay. I don't want to too much. Very happy with where we are. So coming back, what my why is, yes, I want to be at a stage at 50, we're like, okay, I don't have to choose that. I have to work. I don't want to miss it. I have to work to pay my EMIs. We don't want to be there. Both me and Vijay, I want to have the freedom to do what we want to do. To be honest, if you're doing well, stress-free and healthy, I don't think we'll choose to retire. We'll be like, yeah, I like doing what I'm doing. But it should be my choice. I don't want to be forced due to circumstances. Rather, it should be our personal choice.
No, I agree. And thanks for sharing that, Bhavya. I think actually when we know more, retirement is like more having the choice, as you said, the freedom to do what we want to do, with whom we want to do, and when we want to do, and where we want to do it. And actually, when we get in that position, actually, we will be more of us and doing even much bigger and better things in life.
Yes.
Because we are in our best form, right?
You can focus on other things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good why, right? Like everyone wants that. But no, I think I'm sure you will achieve that, because you guys are, you know, taking a lot of actions and that right mindset also, right? Because once we have the mindset is fixed, action happens, and, you know, you're backed up with the strong why. So no. Good on you. What three tips you would give to other investors looking to, you know, either they're looking to invest, or, you know, they're like on the fence thinking, how should I do it? Or it's, I'm already too late. Or give three tips to other investors.
I think first thing is go for it. Start small. And yes, the interest rates are high. If you need to take a pause, take a pause, but do not stop, you know, or if you've not started, just get. First thing, go to the bank. Just go to the bank and see what your borrowing capacity is. You know, just educate yourself with that knowledge, and then everything will fall automatically. And start small. What is your budget? Don't go beyond your budget, or, you know, what you can contribute to with less stress, or what you're able to do. Just get started. I'm just saying, just get started. Take that first step, and then everything else will fall in place. And having said that, educate yourself in that journey. That will give you more right way to do things and take that direction. And take guidance. You know, there's so many people, so many blogs, so many articles these days, and so many videos, so much of information, access to information that we have these days. Motivate yourself, get yourself motivated, educated. That one follower that you're following who's inspired, yeah, just go through their journey and get started. I would definitely say, do not stop. Definitely get started. It's never too late.
Awesome.
Did you say three tips?
Yes, one.
The second one is, as I said, start small. First is get started, go to the bank, educate yourself and get started. Second is go small, you know, understand what your risk appetite is. Do not, you know, stress yourself to or break yourself to just get started. Understand what your limit is, what your risk appetite is, and start small. And third thing is, once you're there, diversify it. As I think, as you asked me, Sanjeev, why did I go to regional properties? And by diversifying, I mean, yes, we are in NSW, we are in Queensland, we are in Perth, try and diversify. And other diversifies the strategies, right? We wanted a easy home in the first go, which was all taken care of and done. And second, now we looked at a property which probably has a granny potential. So your the strategies that, so third thing is, you'll get there. So try and diversify and think of other ways of doing it. And yeah, probably these are my top three things.
No, thank you. I agree. I think, and there's always a way to, you know, as you said, like look for ways, right? Like there's always a way to figure out, I know maybe you have low deposit or low borrowing capacity, or you may have enough, right? But then, you know, work on based on your risk appetite, what makes, because we don't want to do things and not sleep at night, not good. So I think good tips. What do you suggest for, especially you have to call out for females, like I know they run home, they run work in companies, they do everything, right? But I feel like somehow they're still behind the males or something, and they don't want to do it, right? So what do you have to tell for them, like, you know?
I think first thing is empower yourself with that knowledge of investing. I must say, yes, things are changing. The generation, you know, I do have these generation. Yeah, our partners are helping out with home activities, drop and pick up of kids. Yes, it's not to the level that we would like, but yes, they are contributing. So in the same way, we just don't have to be the financial contributors in the family, but we can be the financial investors too. Just brushing off each other's knowledge. Hey, I came across this. I think we can borrow this, and having that conversation with our partner or chatting, let's do that. Let's see how we go. I think we can get this money. And it'll automatically bring some kind of confidence, some having that financial freedom and independence. And first is taking action and seeing the results. It will invariably get you the the confidence and to want to go. And once you're there, just imagine we are financially independent, taken care of. We have so much time, and being a woman, I think that will help us do a lot to our self-care. And the minute we contribute towards taking care of ourselves, we are happy women. Happy wife is happy life. So the minute we are happy, we are able to give that time to our children, our partners, and the stress is gone away. So I would first say empower yourself with that knowledge, and then go and invest yourself, be in that journey and learn. And read the women who have already invested. Get motivation from all the women who have invested. There's so many people there, and get some inspiration there and motivation there. You'll be amazed to see so many female entrepreneurs who are actually doing what they're doing. And yeah, that will give you that next boost in spirit, and we might hopefully get to a stage where we can overcome the gender stereotype. It'll probably become an even ground playing fence rather than, yeah, we're still not there yet, but more of us doing this, it can only get us to that 50-50 that we try to claim, or equality that we try to claim. We will probably get there faster.
I think, of course, so good. I think, I think you guys run the family, raise the kids. I mean, even though as a father, I'm involved, but as you said, like, we are not there where you females would, as a wife, would expect us, right? So because, and I commit myself, and, you know, and most of the males will commit to that, right? Majority of them, not everyone. We don't do that. So you're running home, you're raising the kids, you know, you have a job, you run businesses, an entrepreneur. And I think, you're not far off to leave the males behind on this show.
No, we don't want to leave behind. We want to grow together. As yes, if I said, can you please drop the kids? Can you please cook today? Yes, you guys will do it. But we are like expecting you to remember it and do it yourselves. Yeah, it'll take time. Okay, now I need to be today. Maybe I'll surprise and cook. Yeah, it'll take some time. But yes, it's changed a lot. I'm very thankful. It's changed a lot. We have that support now, but we're not there yet completely.
I think my next question was regarding your plans, which I think you kind of already shared what you're looking in the future. Of course, your focus right now is to buy an owner-occupied property, Bhavya, and then, of course, you'll continue to build your property portfolio. And thanks for everything you just shared. But one final thing, any final words you would like to call out to other investors in this environment?
Let me tell you, you are investing 80% with bank's money. So your bank is giving you that money, and you are growing your asset with 80% of bank's money. So why not go and get started, go find out where you are in your financial journey and take that first step. Educate yourself and you'll know it'll all fall in place. Go take that action and first step and it'll all get going. So I would just say safe asset, right? This is a safe asset category. Property is a very safe asset category. And I said it's 80% is coming from the bank. It's bank's money that's helping you grow.
So true. I think there's no other investment category where you can leverage 80% of someone else's money and you have to put 20%, and the ROIs is on all the 100%, right? The capital growth, and is spot on. I think there's no other investment category like this, one of the safest and the best asset class in the world, right? Of course, you know, get educated, understand the game, and then go hard, right? Because education is also key. Awesome. Thank you so much, Bhavya, for sharing all your insights and your journey, and, you know, being vulnerable and sharing your everything. So I really appreciate and enjoyed the chat. So thank you again.
Same here, Sanjeev. It was really fun. Thanks for the chat. And I hope I was able to spread the message.
No, definitely you have. So I think we'll touch base soon. And thanks. Have a good day. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hope you enjoyed and learn something new from this episode. Please don't forget to review our podcast and tune in every Tuesday 8 a.m. Sydney time to listen to all our inspirational guests and learn from their property journey. In case you're looking for help with your property investment journey or building a property portfolio, please visit our website www.investorsdream.com.au to learn more about us and our services. And feel free to book a call from our website for a friendly chat. Have an awesome life and happy property investing.